John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news on the 10 a.m. show every single day. Lots to get into. How we doing, legends? We're talking Edison, Romano update, Tonali, Arsenal, Tchouaméni staying at Real Madrid, Anderson still the priority, and concerns around Edison as well from Michael Carrick. We will delve into all of that straight away and get your reactions as well. Good morning to you all. Big day today as well, because we've also got our season review show going out live at 4 p.m. UK time from the studio with Ricky and Beth and everybody. So don't miss that later. But we're here to talk about the latest news. This is what for a bit. Well, look, I suppose this is, I think with the Edison story, before I read this, we're either not in for him, we are in for him, or we are undecided on him. Because Fabrizio Romano has said this: Man United have to decide internally whether they want to proceed and close the deal with Edison or decide to go for different midfielders. United are still in the process of discussing internally. Currently, no green light, but it could be at any moment. The deal is advanced with the player and in verbal negotiations with Atalanta. Edison is waiting for United. Last week, United travelled with a delegation to Italy to discuss the transfer. And also, Atalanta's new manager and sporting director will be in place within the next few days. Once that's set, official negotiations for Edison can start. Still waiting for the green light from Manchester United. United want to discuss it internally, whether to proceed with Edison or move for another midfielder. They are advanced, but no deal done yet. And then the Manchester Evening News are also saying that reports of a deal for Anderson have been overplayed. They're not as advanced as reports in Italy claim. So you sort of go, hold on a minute. So, and you know, you can only follow what's out there. I don't have any information on Edison. You know, as we said last week, Man United, from our source, is going to make a big signing before the World Cup. Man United might think Edison's a big signing. I don't know, but I don't know anything about this Edison deal. I've always felt it might be very agent-led. I mean, I saw a United aggregator in the know, whatever you want to call it, last night saying that Edison has said no to loads of clubs. And this is the second time I've heard this weekend. Romano said it as well. I mean, I got called some quite abusive names last night. I'm used to it, because I put a tweet out before I went to bed saying, people keep saying that Edison's turning down a load of clubs. Can anybody tell us who these clubs are? Because Atletico Madrid pulled out weeks ago. So I do feel that there are the ingredients of bullshit around this Edison deal that are starting to come out now. Because over the weekend, it felt like we were signing Edison. And I would admit, it felt like we were signing Edison. And then this morning, some of the people that have been putting it out there were signing Edison are now going, ooh, it's not as close as people think. Yeah, United have now got to make a decision whether they want to do it or not. It's not deal done yet. And you sort of like go, well, that's not really the story that's been sold over the weekend. And look, we've not been pushing this as nearly there, etc. You know, that's, in fairness, I would not moan at any United fan for expecting Edison to be a deal done. I mean, I think we said yesterday, could be deal day yesterday. And now we're being told, oh, maybe it's not. I suppose the question is, why is it not getting done? And I think there's three outcomes here. I think either it is very agent-led and United are being used, which I still don't think that is the case. Secondly, we're trying to get the price down because there is nobody else in the race. So we're trying to get the price down with 1 year left on the contract. I think that's quite a viable option. Thirdly, we're having second thoughts, which is the worst option. I would rather it's agent-led and we were never in for him, which I don't think is true. I would rather it was we're trying to get the price down, which I think is the best option. I would not like it to be we're having second thoughts, because second thoughts are doesn't fill me with confidence about the rest of the window, that we would go all the way to basically having the deal done and then go, we don't want to do it. You know, you've got to, can't afford to waste time. So if we've gone all the way to the front door with Edison and then we walk away, you know, I would say why we were doing it in the first place. And there's a lot of reasons, good reasons, why people are saying, why are we going for Edison? He doesn't tick a lot of the boxes that we've previously said are important to us. But to me, it looks like we've clearly done a lot of work on this deal and it's there to be done. It would be strange to walk away from it because of second thoughts. Because if you've got second thoughts, we never should have. If we've got concerns, we shouldn't have been doing it in the first place. And it worries me if we've got concerns about what sort of summer transfer window we're going to have. Have we gone for Edison because he's cheap and available and wants to come to us and other deals are harder? And now that we've got to come to do the deal, we've gone, is it too early to be doing this type of deal really? Because then we still might be able to get somebody else. And I'm hoping that's not the case. What I'm hoping is that we're actually saying to Atalanta, you want £40 million for a 27-year-old with 1 year left on his contract, who's not a Brazilian international and only plays in Italy, we think it should be 30. And I'm hoping we're just trying to drive that price down, because we've got every right to drive that price down. And maybe that puts a delay in place, because once you've got the player wanting to come, then we don't need to worry about anything else. For example, it ain't Real Madrid and PSG who he's turning down, is it? It's probably Juventus and Valencia or something like that. It won't be big clubs. So look, we'll have to wait and see with Edison. As with everything with Man United, we're not quick. This could take weeks. Edison to Manchester United wasn't even a thing a week ago. So we're only in week one. I mean, you know as well as I do, six is the average. So we could have another 4 or 5 weeks of this. So let's wait and see. But I hope it's not second thoughts. I hope it's about driving the price down, because I think that, as I said last night, if we get Edison and we get Fernandez, we don't get Belaba. We also don't get Scott. We don't get Garner. We don't get Tyler Adams. We don't get Ampadu. We don't get Stiller. But in a way, I don't mind settling on midfielder 2 and 3 quite early, as long as we get that number one signing. And in fairness, it also said in the Manchester Evening News today, and I think Romano has said it as well, United, regardless of what happens with Edison, are still looking for a marquee signing to replace Casemiro. Now, it mentions Tchouaméni and it mentions Elliot Anderson, and this is where we're going to go next. We're also going to be talking about this Tonali story, and also a little bit more about a striker at United, and a couple of more comments from Bruno Fernandes. But this is in the Manchester Evening News. Edison's potential arrival at Old Trafford is not expected to alter United's plans to sign a marquee midfielder to replace Casemiro. United chiefs have earmarked significant investment to sign Casemiro's successor. Elliot Anderson remains at the top of United's midfield shortlist, but United are set to face stiff competition from Manchester City. Tchouaméni is seen as a dream midfield signing at Old Trafford, but Madrid are expected to keep him for Jose Mourinho's first season at the Bernabeu. I mean, look, there are positives laced with negatives, as always seems to be the case with United, because, you know, we do want and need to bring in players that are of a quality where you go, they could replace Casemiro. Of course we do. However, who is it going to be? Because if we don't get Anderson because he goes to Man City, and a lot of people think that's going to happen, and we don't get Tchouaméni because he's going to stay at Real Madrid, there isn't anybody else. Well, there's one person else who we'll talk about in a bit, because there's an update about Arsenal, and that's Tonali. But United seem to be pushing the Tonali story away. So if we don't get Anderson and we don't get Tchouaméni, what are we doing? Like, so yeah, there's significant money to replace Casemiro, but there's a massive hole there if you don't get either of those two players. So I think we just come back to the same old story again, don't we? Elliot Anderson's the priority. But all we keep being told is that Man City are more likely to sign him. So, look, as we've said, Ederson, Fernandez from West Ham, decent signings. But that third signing, that marquee signing, that Casemiro replacement signing has got to be awe-inspiringly exciting. And if you've got Ederson and you've got Fernandez and that third signing is Alex Scott or Carlos Baleba or Tyler Adams, I think we're in trouble. I think we're really in trouble. So I think that United's, it's good that the stories are still out there that we want a marquee signing and there's big money there for it. But I'm a bit concerned who that marquee signing is if Real Madrid keep Tchouaméni and Anderson signs for Man City. Who is the marquee signing then? Because answers on a postcard, I don't know who it is. If it's not Tonali, I don't know who it is. Anthony says that Romano gave two reasons for Ederson, something going on at Atalanta. Well, if you could tell us what those reasons are, that would be great. Daniel Thompson says, hi, Mark. Thank you very much for your super chat, Daniel. Weird situation with Ederson. If United really wanted him, they would have already done a deal to do something is holding them back. If any doubt, move on. Can't waste time, focus on top quality targets. Yeah, if you're just tuning in a little bit late, which I know some of you do, on Ederson, it's not as advanced as has been reported over the last few days. United, no green light yet. Deal can be done, but for whatever reason, according to Romano, the Manchester Evening News this morning, it's not as advanced as some people are reporting in Italy. We have a bit of a three theory. One, it's second thoughts. Two, it's been overhyped by his agent. Or three, we're trying to negotiate the price down. I think it's probably three. And what I would say, Daniel, in defence is, Atalanta are very difficult to deal with. We gave them a lot of money for Højlund. We gave them a lot of money for Ahmad. They are notoriously very good at getting very high prices. And we're very bad at getting good deals. So if we're trying to get the price down with Atalanta, we could be in for a long wait. Ken Shambles says, why did Atletico pull out? Well, Atletico Madrid nearly signed Ederson in the January transfer market and we were nowhere near the deal. I said this a few days ago. If we really wanted Ederson, why did we not try and do the deal in January when he was that close to signing to Atletico Madrid? Atletico pulled out because of the price. They felt that for a player with 1 year left on his contract, he wasn't worth 40 million. So they've gone for João Gomes, who is younger and cheaper. So that's why Atletico Madrid have pulled out. We should be okay with Fernandez and Ederson, says Tilak. What, just Fernandez and Ederson? No, what? No way, mate. Raymond says, for the life of me, I don't know why we aren't going in for James Garner. He can play right back in midfield, kills two birds with one stone. I spoke to somebody about James Garner about a month ago and very similar conversation. Garner's a little bit unlucky not to be going to the World Cup. I think James Garner, Adam Wharton and Alex Scott have been absolutely mugged off by Tuchel's obsession with Brentford's bench player, Jordan Henderson, who was shit for England 4 years ago and is still going to a World Cup. So he's very unlucky not to be going to a World Cup. I suspect the reason United won't go back for Garner is the embarrassment. Because we let him go for so cheap, to buy him back will probably be about four times what we paid for him. So I don't think they want to do that because it's embarrassing. Other than that, I don't really know. I think he's a good player. We're with a 5 out of 10, but there's loads of 7 out of 10s around and a few 10 out of 10s. We're looking at 5s and 7s, but the 10 seems out of reach. The 5 is easiest, says Grim. That's like a night out in the 90s. Adam Long says, the signing of Ederson and Baleba are easy deals that are intended to make us think Wilcox is competent. The evidence says otherwise, says Adam Long. Yeah, look, we've been talking about this for weeks. Ederson's not going to the World Cup. Baleba's not going to the World Cup. Tonali's not going to the World Cup. Fernandez isn't going to the World Cup. And none of those players have a big list of clubs after them. Baleba's not wanted by a top club. Ederson's not wanted by a top club. Fernandez probably could have a bit of competition, to be fair, and so could Tonali, but all four of them are not actually going to the World Cup. So United have got no excuses not to be moving quickly at all. I mean, I was doing a video with Robbie from AFTV this morning talking about Arsenal's transfer window. And he was saying, well, we've got a Champions League final on Saturday. Then everyone's heading off to the World Cup. Then the World Cup doesn't really finish until the end of July. So he's like, I don't know how we're going to do deals. But for us, you know, our season's over. We've got 2 weeks before the World Cup starts. We've got a load of players that we're looking at that aren't going to the World Cup. So, you know, we can... I personally think United are looking at players who aren't going to the World Cup on purpose as well. Is there still a 50% chance to get Anderson with Pep leaving and Rodri possible transfer to Madrid? Anderson is homegrown and 115 million seems like a right for a world-class midfielder these days, says Michael. Michael, you are talking to me in a one-on-one with thousands of people watching, but, you know, so I'm fully aware of what this statement could do if it doesn't go the way it should. I've always said since November in Bryant Park in New York, I was reading my messages from Beth, talking about her show with Ben Jacobs about Elliot Anderson. And I turned to the person on my left who I'd never met before and probably didn't like football. And I went, I'm telling you now, Elliot Anderson to Man United could happen this summer. And they went, I'm just in a queue for some Cheetos or whatever you call it. You know, them long bits of puddings. What are they called? Churros. Yeah, not Cheetos. And I went, well, I'm telling you now, just remember that. And it's true. I've always felt, I wouldn't give you a percentage. I wouldn't say, ooh, it's a, you know, 70% chance. I don't even know what the percentage is with Anderson. I just feel that.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
I can see him signing for Man United. And until he's holding up a man's... And I'm not like that. I know some of you go, until they're holding up a shirt, I don't care. I'm not watching the channel until they're holding up a shirt. And I'm like, yeah, shut up. There's terms agreed. There's deal done. There's here we go. There's all sorts before they hold the shirt up. But I do just feel with Elliot Anderson, United have made... And also, United have absolutely rinsed it. I mean, if I was Elliot Anderson, I'd want commission from Man United for the amount of times we've been linked to him. So I just feel that there's something with Anderson. But I have to say, Michael, most people don't think that. But look, we'll have to, until he's holding up in a Man City shirt, I still think we've got a chance. I really do. Keno is embarrassing himself with the Bruno spats as United 7-7. Look, if we've got time, I'll talk about the Keenan Bruno stuff at the end. But to be honest with you, I think the people talking about the Keenan Bruno stuff can jog on, really. It's the season's finished. Bruno's off to the World Cup. Roy Keane's off to the World Cup. We've got a transfer window to build. And I really don't care about the Roy Keane and the Bruno thing. I love Bruno. I love Roy Keane. But I love Sir Alex and I love Roy Keane. And they don't like each other either. So for me, I just don't... I think there's bigger things to talk about, especially around transfers. The Glazer mouthpiece, Stephen Railston, trying to spin the fan base again. Tchouaméni is a dream. Lewis Hall costs too much. Tonali is unrealistic. All bullshit, says Mean Mustard. Mean Mustard. I nearly called you Mean. That way. Look, some journalists are client journalists, and we must remember that. A client journalist is somebody who doesn't do journalistic work. They just take stuff from the club and put it out there. And I think there's a few who do that. And I've called them out before and I'll call them out again. But ultimately, that's modern journalism around Manchester United. They feed stuff out and it goes out into the fans. I think you're right. I don't know whether Stephen Railston at the Manchester Evening News is particularly a Glazer mouthpiece. Some people say it about Ben Jacobs. Some people say it about Romano. Some people say it about The Athletic. There's not a lot of independent journalism going on anymore. But I think that you're not being a mouthpiece when the club are basically saying we're not going for Tonali. If they're not going for Tonali, they're not going for Tonali. If Tchouaméni's a dream, we should shut up and wake up. I don't like hearing for the fourth time in a week that Tchouaméni is a dream. Because you know what? That's like being down the pub with John and him going, you know, my dream is Taylor Swift.
Well, mate, your dream's a pot noodle. Like, you ain't getting Taylor Swift. Shut up about Taylor Swift. Every bloody time we have a drink, it's Taylor Swift. I don't want to listen to your dreams. I want to live in reality. And I don't want to listen to United putting stuff out there about Tchouaméni being a dream. Because I tell you what, my dream is maybe getting Declan Rice from Arsenal. You know, that's my dream for the midfield. It's not going to happen, is it? So I don't want to hear about dreams. I want to hear about realities. The reality is we needed a midfielder last summer and we didn't do it. The reality is we knew Casemiro was going a year ago. We've had a year to plan for this summer, this midfield summer. I don't want to hear about dreams. Yeah, if I want to hear about dreams, I'll listen to the Cranberries, right? I don't want to hear about dreams. Or I'll listen to Gabriel. Not the Arsenal centre-back, you know. So I don't want to hear about it because it makes no... It's almost like when you put it out there that Tchouaméni's a dream, we're all meant to go, oh, fair play, Wilcox. I know what you mean. Let's all do our dream midfield signing for Man United. Hold on a minute. You're not doing your dream midfield signing. You are the director of football. You're not getting involved in the dream chat. You know, it's almost like he's going to turn up at the local pub in the beer garden and sit around the table. Who's everybody's dream midfielder? The drinks are on me. Get back to work. Pull your bloody carling down and get back to work, your dream midfield signing. Get back in your office and do the real midfield, not the bloody dream. So I am getting a little bit tired of hearing about Tchouaméni being a dream signing. I've heard Romano say it. Tchouaméni is Man United's dream signing, but it's very unlikely because he doesn't want to come. Oh, another Frankie de Jong. Oh, I'd love a summer of that. Let's print the T-shirts, pick a card. I don't want to hear about dreams. What does a dream do? Oh, Tchouaméni's a dream for Man United. Oh, let's all have a dream. My dream is that we win the Champions League and Bruno gets 100 assists. Real talk, right? If he's a dream, shut up. Stop writing about it. If it's a dream, start talking to me about realities, you know? Pull out, let Edison push deal for a cheap pivot to Hackney for third midfielder. Carrick likes him already and he'll be cheap. Middlesbrough didn't go up, says JSD. Garner also signed a new contract with Everton, says Patrick Lynch. And Charlie says, something I feel people have missed is that Ben said both City and United are waiting for Anderson buy-in before going to Forest. Could put the price down, says Charlie. We should be... Okay, thank you very much for that as well. Well, my fear is it will be Belaba, Edison and Fernandez. That's a nightmare. That's a nightmare. Is your dream Taylor Swift, Mark? No, absolutely not. No, musically, I quite liked the last song. Can't remember what it was called, Ophelia or something. But not for me. My fear it will be Belaba, Edison, and Fernandez. Yeah, I mean that's you never can tell with Manchester United, Dale, how badly things could go. But that would not be a good midfield. You know, Belaba, Edison and Fernandez would be, you know, pretty shit, if I'm being honest, because there's no Casemiro replacement there, is there? And that would be good. Bye, Michael. See you later. I don't know why people appear on this channel just to be abusive. Let me talk to you about Tenali. Someone in the chat just said, what's the Tenali update? So we've got nearly 10,000 watching. Thank you for everybody for tuning in. Marlo is in the chat before I give you the update on Tenali. So Marlo says, it will save us a lot of grief this transfer window if we realise that no top target will want to play pragmatic football under Carrick. We're forced to settle for less, says Marlo. You know what, Marlo? I've got to say, I've never agreed with this, and it doesn't mean I'm right, but I've heard it for years, that no top player will want to come and play for Ollie. No top player will want to play under the Glazers. No top manager will want to come and be, you know... We're Manchester United. We're always going to have that pull. I don't think Tonali or Anderson or Tchouaméni look at Man United and go, I don't want to play with less than 50% possession playing counter-attacking football with Carrick. I don't think they look at that. I really don't. I might be wrong, but I don't. I think they'd still come. On Tonali, somebody in the chat just said, use, Y-O-U-S, use are not getting Tonali. Use are not getting Tonali. It's you are not getting Tonali. Stop changing the English language.
with Modern Talk. Regan's just realised he's a member. You probably got it gifted, mate. Right, look, let me talk to you about Tenali then. So Tenali, there was a story last night that was nothing to do with us. And it came in from Newcastle Chronicle's Newcastle writer, Lee Ryder. He said, less than 24 hours after the final whistle at Fulham and reports of talks between Arsenal and Sandro Tonali representatives, this has been played down by sources at Arsenal and Newcastle, but Newcastle are braced for a summer of rumours and gossip. No talk so far, but Newcastle would only sell any player on Newcastle terms. Arsenal's priority is also not a midfielder, I'm told. So there was some talk about this Tonali Arsenal January story coming right back to the forefront again, but it has been played down by Newcastle sources that Arsenal's priority is not a midfielder, and that there hasn't been talks advanced yet with those. Look, the absence of talks between Manchester United and Newcastle, full stop, suggest we're not signing a player from Newcastle at the moment. Like, we knew a month ago that we needed a midfielder. We knew 2 months ago we needed a midfielder. We knew 3 months ago we need a left back. You know, we've known what we've known for months. And Newcastle have known that they're not going to be in the Champions League for weeks. And we've known that we're going to be in the Champions League for weeks. We've also known that we're going to give Carrick the job for months, I think. But weeks, if you want. So Newcastle have been in this vulnerable position for a long time, and United have been in this strong position for a long time, and we've made no inroads to Newcastle at all. They've got a left-back called Lewis Hall. They've got midfielders called Bruno Guimaraes and Tonali. They've got a left-winger called Anthony Gordon. There are multiple players at Newcastle that we could have had some sort of talks about, and we haven't. We've not opened any doors with Newcastle at all. Now, I don't know whether that's because we've slammed those doors shut in how we dealt with them with Dan Ashworth. We may never be able to do a deal with Newcastle again. But I love to think that... But with increased viewership, we also get increased knobheads. So I'm just doing a little bit of cleaning in the live chat here. Sorry, people. You have to put up with it, I know. But yeah, I think with Newcastle, it's not looking like we're going to do anything. And I think with Tonali specifically, that is a player that I think many of us would like to see at Manchester United. I personally think he would be perfect as a replacement for Casemiro. But United just seem to be very reluctant to entertain that. I think we had a week in the March international break where, for whatever reason, the Tonali story got legs. But United seem to want to cut the legs off that story very, very quickly back in March, and they've never allowed them to grow in again. We've had leaks about United's concerns around the gambling. We've had leaks around the concerns around £90 million, wages. I think United normally are quite happy for a transfer to be there, even if they're not going to do it. But with the Tonali deal, you know, you tell me if I'm wrong, it feels like United have been very determined over the last few weeks to kill that story. So it doesn't feel like anything's happening with Tonali at the moment. Which leaves us with what I said a few minutes ago, the Casemiro replacement. You can really break it down like this. Tonali, we're not doing anything. Tchouaméni is seen as a dream and not a reality. And Anderson is our priority, but could be heading to City. So if we're not getting Tonali, we're not getting Tchouaméni, and we're not getting Anderson, what are we going to do it? What are we going to do? Marlo says, can you please name a top target that has signed for United in the last 10 years where there was any real competition for their signature? Well, it's funny, Marlo, because you know when you listen to that interview with Bruno Fernandes, he actually says in there, and I've got the quote here, and I remember this. I remember being on holiday in Mallorca. I was on a balcony. I think I did fall over on that balcony, actually. I vaguely remember falling over. But I had a balcony behind me, and there was boats in the sea, funnily enough. That's where they live. And one of them, it was a very stormy day, and one of the boats was sort of sinking. And I was like, that's it. I was obsessed with Bruno Fernandes the summer before we signed him. And United just, it's a bit like Edison now. You know, Edison so close to signing to Atletico Madrid in January. And now in the summer, he's apparently, he could easily have signed for Atletico Madrid. The same thing happened with Bruno. We didn't do the deal in the summer. And we ended up signing him in the January. Now, in that summer, there were rumours that he nearly signed for Spurs. And if he'd signed for Spurs, we wouldn't have signed him in the January. This is what Bruno Fernandes had to say. I spoke with Tottenham years ago and we were very close to getting an agreement done. Then in the last 2 days, Sporting said we're not going to sell him and the deal collapsed. So Bruno Fernandes was that close, so that close to signing for Spurs, and we were nowhere to be seen. So going back to what Marlow said there, name a top target that we haven't signed. We got linked with Bruno all summer and we didn't do the deal. And I was fuming. Thankfully, we went back and did it in January because McTominay and Pogba got injured. And people forget that. We only bought Bruno in the January because McTominay and Pogba got injured. We stumbled on Bruno and look at what he's become. But he nearly signed for Spurs. So I think with signing top players where there's competition, we've never had a good record of that. Even as recently as September, December, Semenyu, we wanted him publicly. He goes to Man City. Gakpo went to Liverpool. Who else has there been in the last few years? Feels like there's been quite a lot. Arshan says, it feels like this board is trying to dictate to us on Anderson going to City. We can't do anything. Tchouaméni is unlikely. Tonali too expensive. So they're going to go for Belabor instead and give them a low wage, says Arshan. It could be a tactic, Arshan. We'll have to wait and see. They might try and manipulate you into, well, Ederson's gone to City, Real Madrid, Tchouaméni was a pipe dream, Tonali's too expensive, so we had to sign Belabor. They might do that. They might do that. I mean, look, watch this space. We'll have to wait and see. That might be the plan. I don't know. I suspect Scott becomes more of a priority if we miss out on Anderson, as I feel Wilcox and co. will want one of the midfielders to be homegrown, says James. I would take Alex Scott over Belabor. I would take Alex Scott over Fernandes. I would take Alex Scott over Ederson. I think Alex Scott is a very, very good signing. But it's gone very, very quiet with him at the moment. Marlow also says we couldn't even get Delap. Well, we did. We wanted that. I can't remember. What is DOAC, Martin? Diary of a CEO with Bruno was a good interview. I think that's what it's called, isn't it? Yeah. It is a good interview, yes. Slow Sports News, hope you're doing well. Thanks for your super chat. Says, if it's unlikely to happen, then why is everyone talking about it? Dreams can be made, but you've got to build it first to become realistic. All this spin about who we might like to buy is mundane, says Slow Sports News. Look, I think if you put it out there through Fabrizio Romano that Tchouaméni is the dream, Tchouaméni will hear it. You don't have to put it out publicly, though, because you can just tell his agent. So I don't think, somebody said in the chat, maybe they're putting it out there so that Tchouaméni knows. Yeah, there is something called email, and Transfer Market tells you who his agent is. And there's probably people in the United squad who can tell him. So we don't need to put it out publicly to tell him. But I suppose if you put it out there publicly, it makes your fan base feel better. So look, ultimately with Tchouaméni, it's a dream to sign him. He replaced Casemiro at Real Madrid, so he could replace Casemiro at Man United. But we are sort of there like Oliver, you know, asking for more, because we're sort of like saying, if you don't get to stay at Real Madrid, which is what you want to do, we want you. It's not quite Di Maria, but it's a little bit Varane and Casemiro. You know, if you don't want to stay at Real Madrid because they don't want you anymore, we will take you. And I ain't got a problem with that. We're not Real Madrid. We're not PSG. We're not even Arsenal. So we can't, beggars can't be choosers. We do need players of that quality in our football club, but he wants to stay at Real Madrid, so it's only if Real Madrid don't want him that that becomes a reality. Carping Australia, what a name, says, love the show. Please can give a shout out to my mate Matt Benson from Melbourne, who's recovering from a serious operation in hospital. He will be watching. Matt Benson in Melbourne, hope you're recovering well. Thank you very much for watching. All our thoughts and not prayers, it doesn't sound like it's that bad, but on recovery, get well soon, Matt. Thank you very much. Carping in Australia as well for the super chat. Silence says, Belabor needs to go somewhere else to get his form back, not Man United, where he's expected to play at a Champions League level. He's not there yet. Yeah, I mean, look, I'll steal a phrase from somebody yesterday. I think in relation to Belaba, it's the biggest game in your club's history. You've got an opportunity to get in the Champions League or the Europa League, and you're on the bench for James Milner. If people want to sign a player like that, you go for it. But don't tell me there's not a risk. Why did we go for Ederson instead of João Gomes as JDC? I don't know. I mean, you know, catch me out. I don't know.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
I don't know. I don't know why we went for Joe. I don't know why we didn't go for João Gomes on over Ederson. But look, it's like Thomas Tuchel going for John Stones over Harry Maguire. Like, I get that people will have different ideas. Is there a massive amount of difference between Ederson and João Gomes? Maybe not. Maybe there isn't. You know, Atletico Madrid probably wanted Ederson, but at the price, they felt João Gomes was a better option. So Atletico Madrid clearly thought Ederson was better than João Gomes, but on price, they felt João Gomes was better. So if no players want to go to Newcastle like the last window, what hope have we got to buy from them? This is Slow Sports News. Junkyard James says we need to relax, take our time and laugh at Garnacho. I mean, look. But we need to focus on our own lane, of course, but... what do we get with Alex Scott compared to the tier one midfielders, Tonali, Anderson, Sisfrodian? Look, I don't think Nedja wants Mark Belaba. He's a quality talent. Can you tell us what he does well? That'd be great. I think with Alex Scott, it would be a huge, huge risk compared to Anderson and Tonali because they are A-star players that... you know, big clubs want. I think with Scott, it's a little bit more potential, but you say it's potential. He's not 20. I think he's 23. He's knocking on the door of the England squad. He's had an amazing season for Bournemouth, and I think he has an aura and a composure that I think he could deal with it. I think there's a reason that people like Arsenal are looking at him. I mean, look, Lee Dixon says, I think Scott's better than Anderson and half the price. Look at the league table. I mean, I tell you what, that's a hot take, Lee. It's a hot day and that's a hot take. I actually agree with you. I don't think there's a world of difference between Alex Scott and Mainoo and Alex Scott and Anderson. I don't. I've seen a lot of him since Christmas and I don't think there is. I remember him playing against us at the end of March. I thought he was one of the best players on the pitch. Didn't Lemons make a worldie save from it as well so he can get forward? I watched him play against Man City the other night, Arsenal... I don't think there is a world of difference between Alex Scott and Anderson. And I definitely don't think there's a world of difference between Alex Scott and Mainoo. So why he's not a high priority for Man United, I don't know. I think Scott is like the player version of Iriola. I think that there is somebody's going to get an excellent signing there and everyone's going to go, why didn't we do it? Why didn't we do it? I think Iriola has the potential to be one of the world's best managers. I think Alex Scott has got the potential to be England's best midfielder. So there is a risk, though, because I think Anderson and Tonali, if we sign either of them, the fan base will go, woo! Whereas if you sign Alex Scott, they'll go, ooh, I don't know. Good player, but it's a bit of a risk. So sometimes you've got to go for the player that's going to get the fan base excited. Is Alex Scott going to the World Cup? He's not in the squad, but he is out there as... You know, the standby, he's gone out as one of the five standby players with that Rio. If no new players want to go to Newcastle last window, what hope have we got? I think I've done that from Slow Sports News as well. Thank you very much. I thought this was repetition. If it is repetition, apologies, but it actually was tweeted out 3 hours ago. Rio Fairyland's at it again, basically talking about Lewandowski again. I don't know whether he's like trying to get an interview with Lewandowski or he's already got an interview with Lewandowski coming up. I suspect with Rio, it really is that simple. I think he may well have gone for, he may well have been doing an interview with Rio or has got one coming up. But he said again, Lewandowski is not a bad shout. Sorry, what was it?
Is that here? That. I'll be wanting to say it.
Apologies. Half term in the UK and I didn't realise they'd gone out to Drayton Manor. Ferdinand's at it again. Lewandowski is not a bad shout. If we bought him in, the experience that he has, the amount of learning that Sesko would get, the learning he could do with Lewandowski, who is a wonderful, humble human being, would, I think, teach, show and try to coordinate Sesko and get him in the right way. I think he'd be a sensible signing as well. Obviously, the numbers would be crazy wages-wise, but I think you're trying to benefit the squad. I think it could be a great presence. You know when people answer their own question? He's 39. And Rio Ferdinand is there saying, the wages would be crazy, but I think it'd be a great presence. And you sort of like go, this is somebody that harps on like he knows what he's on about. And then he comes out with absolute shit like that. Like, he's 39, Rio. And you're there saying, I know the wages would be crazy, but I think he'd be a great presence. Oh, that's okay then. Come and earn 400 grand a week at Man United and sit on the bench as a mentor to Sesko. I mean, can't we get him on like a one-to-one Zoom call once a week? It'd be a lot fucking cheaper. I mean, I suppose this is the thing, the ex-player conversation, they may well be legends on the pitch and they should never lose that status. But the opinions as retired players sometimes are absolutely stunning. But you know what? In fairness and in their defence, whether it's people like Rio or others, I always say this. Paul Gascoigne is one of the best players I've ever seen in my life. Paul Gascoigne was an amazing talent, right? Look at him retired. Look at him as a player. You wouldn't trust him with a bag of shopping, let alone what Man United should do or Newcastle or England. So I just think, like, you know what? You can be a legend because of what you did on the pitch, and that's absolutely fine, and that shouldn't really change. But we shouldn't hang on to their opinions, you know? We really shouldn't. A lot of people saying maybe we could get Lewandowski to do a cameo each week. I mean, a Lewandowski cameo is probably under 10 grand, right? And we could just do it once a week for 10 grand a week and say, can you give us tip of the week for Sesko? 5 minutes, yeah? He's not 39. You know what? I love it. I love all this. Someone in the chat, exclamation marks and capital letters. He's not 39! Yeah, okay. You know, if you're going to come at me with capital letters and exclamation marks, he better be in his mid-20s. I mean, he's 38 then, in August. Ooh, I've got it wrong by 1 year. Oh, if he's only 38 in August, why don't we do the deal then? We could get a good decade out of him. Ooh, tell you what, let's have Lewandowski at 38, who is clearly on the wind down, if you've seen Barcelona this year and you've seen what Barcelona fans have said. Let's bring Lewandowski to the Premier League when he's never played here before at 38. This sounds great. And let's give him 400 grand a week as well. This sounds absolutely brilliant. Because even if we don't use him, he can just sit there and have a chat with Sesko a couple of times a week and give him some tips. Oh, I remember this, you know. A bit like Uncle Albert from Only Fools and Horses during the war, you know, when I was at Bayern, I just think it's absolute nonsense. And for every good opinion you might get from an ex-player, there'll be a stupid opinion like that that completely ruins it. You know, where's my phone? I'm hearing it's guitar. I know I'm at the phone. It's such important news. It's such important news that I'm actually filming myself in a train station. I'm hearing it's Qatar. Yeah. Subscribe, like the video, smash a comment. I'm hearing it's Qatar. And it's so important I'm hearing it's Qatar. I'm in a train station. I'm doing it on the hop. I'm literally about to get on a train. Yeah, I'm hearing its guitar, and you just think, I can't take it seriously, because for every good opinion, there's a shit one. We can't be signing Lewandowski. I think it's an interesting conversation as to who we do sign, because I think we do need to bring a striker in. I do not like Mbeumo as the backup striker, and I know Carrick has done it a lot, and I know some of you like it, and maybe he's doing it out of a lack of options. I don't like Mbeumo as a striker, so we do need to bring somebody in, but that's going to be very difficult. And I'd like to know what your thoughts are on that, because people say we need a backup striker, but it all costs money. You know, you could bring Lewandowski in at 38 and give him 400 grand a week. And he will want that, by the way, because he could go to Qatar and earn, you know, could go to Saudi, MLS. Remember, he could earn a lot of money. So you're not getting Lewandowski cheap. I actually saw somebody comment saying, if it's 100 grand a week, I'd do it. And I just, oh yeah, whatever. As if he's going to come to United for 100 grand a week. Danny Welbeck is very old and he's just signed a new contract at Brighton. Ivan Toney could come back, but again, would want huge wages, minimum 200 grand a week for somebody who's going to be a backup striker. That's too much. I think within the parameters, I think you've got to set parameters, right? The backup striker needs to be somebody that will challenge Sesko, but not ruin Sesko. They need to be on 100 to 125 grand a week. They need to be between 26 and 30, and they need to be as cheap as chips. So find me somebody like that. Somebody who's between 26 and 30 who can come in, play Champions League football and compete with Sesko, but be on a 125 grand a week or less. I don't know. People say Vlahovic. I think he's a problem. I think Vlahovic is a problem. I think he's a cheap free transfer that people go, oh, he looks good. Like, do your homework on Vlahovic. Listen to Juventus fans on Vlahovic. Like, I don't think he's the solution at all. And I don't think he comes into United and sits there happily on the bench for 125 grand a week. Mateta, again, I think you might have to pay. Actually, I think he's only got a year left. Mateta's interesting. Mateta's interesting. Jared Bowen's not a striker. Ramos at PSG. I mean, I'd love Harry Kane, Robert McCormack, but he is neither under 30, under 125 grand a week or cheap. And also, Sesko may as well get sold if you get Harry Kane, because we ain't picking Sesko. Dembele sat on the bench for Mbappe at PSG. If Belaba suits how Carrick wants to play, then it's good, says Kiel Robinson. Don't know what that means. These owners simply doesn't love our club. Watching us now, not attracting big names after we were the dream of every player and doing nothing is insane, says Golden Boy Wazza. Lewandowski in the Premier League would be cool to see, maybe 7 years ago, not now, says Silent. We want Enrique, but Carrick is cheap. Ooh, we want Chiellini, but Belaba is cheap. Ooh, we want to win the title, but top four is cheap, says Savish. I love that. I do love that. I do love that. Very, 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 very true. What about Brobby at Sunderland? Yeah, look, I didn't say there's nobody out there. I just said you've got to probably work to the parameters that I actually do think there are parameters to the striker. As I said, I think they've got to be between 26 and 30 to have the experience. I think they've got to be on a reasonable wage, because you don't want them to be very expensive. I think they've got to be a reasonable transfer fee, and I think they've got to be comfortable to play for Man United and the Champions League, but not too demanding that they're benching Sesko. So I don't know. Like Gene says, Ivan Toney, if he doesn't want silly wages. Look, if you're Ivan Toney and you're not bothered about the money because you've earned it all in Saudi, then you want to just come back and play Champions League football for Man United. He's only just turned 30. He's got a contract that runs until 2028. As we know with the Saudi League, they're not that opposed to letting players go. Represented by the same agency as Elliot Anderson and Kobbie Mainoo. I don't know. Look, we might not buy a striker. We might say we want to use Cunha there or Morgan. I think if we sign Morgan Rodgers, we won't sign a striker, by the way. If we sign Morgan Rodgers, I don't think we buy a striker, because I think we'll go, Cunha can play as a striker. Mbeumo can play as a striker. Morgan Rogers can play as a striker. So I don't think we'll sign a striker if we sign Morgan Rogers. And Morgan Rogers is a very, very big possibility post-World Cup. Thank you everybody for watching. We have our 4 o'clock show today, which is the season review show. It's in the studio, Ricky and co, with Beth, Maud's. I think Kev might be in as well. Season review show. It's going to be very good. Just get in there and get in on Ricky on Bruno being the best player since sliced bread. I'm back with you at 8 o'clock tonight in the normal slot. And we'll see what today brings. I think it'll be a busy day today. There might even be a 2 o'clock show as well, because I think there will be updates coming in, because we've just had the Premier League weekend finale. Yesterday was a bank holiday in the UK, so everyone's back to work today. So I think we'll get an influx of news drops coming in through the day as well. Take care, everybody. RRIP says Rogers would be a dream signing. There you go. Somebody wants it to happen. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. I'll speak to you on the next one.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.